So this week, we will talk about the first bracha we make every day. And that is the bracha, Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvoisa V'tzivonu Al Netilas Yadayim. There are different minhagim as to when to make this bracha, whether we make this immediately after we wash Negel Vasser in the morning, or is it, does one say it once they come to Shul, or once they start davening. Nevertheless, it is the first bracha that one makes every morning. So to understand the words we're saying, so just the simple interpretation of the words, Baruch Ata Hashem, blessed are you Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, our God, the King of the world, Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvoisav, who has sanctified us with his commandments, V'tzivanu, and he commanded us, Al Netilas Yodayim, regarding the washing of the hands. Not so simple why netila means washing. That's a separate shmuz, and we might get there today. But we need to begin with the beginning, understanding what, since this is the first bracha, now's the time to talk about what Baruch Ato Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam means. We say it so many times a day. What does Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam mean? And Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvoisav. All these words have very deep meaning. And we need to talk about the depth of these words. Said from the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov said that anybody who is able to get past the word Ata, and one is still standing on their feet, then it's a sign that a person has no idea what they're saying. Which means we all have no idea what we're saying. Baruch Ata means we're talking directly to the Ribbono Shel Olam. We're saying, blessed are you. So anybody that has any idea what that Ata is would not be able to remain standing on their feet. So there's a story that is told by the majority of the Hasidim, by the Sfaradim. It is customary to say before the performance of any mitzvah, it's customary to say L'shem Yichud Kud Shabarichu Ushchinte. And I'm doing this for the sake of the unity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and His Shechina. We'll get into this soon. It is customary to say this before the performance of any mitzvah. So it is told that one chassid met a chassid of Chabad, and apparently the custom of Chabad is not to say L'shem Yichud. Only one who's saying. But before the performance of a mitzvah, you don't say L'shem Yichud. So he asked the Chabad Chosid why. And he answered, because we say Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. So you don't need to say l'shem yichud kodesh b'richu v'shchintai. Okay, so to explain that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Echad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one. The one and only. Let's try to imagine what the world, what the universe looked like before there was a universe. Right? There was only one and only Rabbeinu Shlomo. That's all that existed. Then Hashem created the universe. He created the world. So, is Hashem no longer all over? Is the room that the world is in, is the room that the universe is in, is that devoid of Hashem's presence? You can't have two things in one place. We can't say that. Chas v'shalom. The Pasuk says, Ani Hashem lo yishanisi. The Pasuk says, I am Hashem, I have never changed. So Hashem exists. Hashem is the way He always was, with no change. So the difference is that in order for our world to exist, Hashem made it that it should appear to us as if He is not in the place that we're in, right? We don't see Hashem. Although Hashem is everywhere, leis asar panui menei, there is nowhere that is void of Hashem's presence. Nevertheless, there is an illusion. Hashem has given us the possibility to have this illusion that He is not present in this world. As Yidden, we are to believe that Hashem is all over. And although we can't see Him, right, He exists within this world. We all relate to a Rabbeinu Shleilam, right? We all relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We daven to Him. So we know that there is something called HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is Atzmusai, right? It is Hashem's essence. Yet in our daily lives, when we go about our regular life, we're not in touch with Atzmusai. We're not in touch with Hashem's essence. We're in touch with a world that is part of this illusion that Hashem doesn't exist within this world. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam that exists within this world, meaning I don't want to call it the chelik because Hashem isn't divided, but the godliness that is in this world is called Shechina, right? It's a term that we're very familiar with, the Shechina. We usually think that as Hashem, right? And it's true, it is Hashem. But there's a difference between the term HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the term Shechina. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a reference to Atzmusai, to Hashem's essence. That is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu means. Shechina is the way Hashem manifests Himself within this world. Hashem is only one and the same. It is all one and the same. There's just a difference of how we refer to how we refer to him.
Different
to what?
Different,
it's different aspect of how we refer to Hashem. When we're referring to Atzmusai, to his essence, we refer to him as a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And when we refer to the way he manifests himself within this world, that's referred to as Shechinah. That's why the Mishkan, right, we talk about Hashroas HaShechinah, the dwelling of the Shechinah. What? Right. Hashem dwells, Shechinah means he dwells. He dwells within this world. That's called Shechinah. Now, we as Yidden, we're obligated to see the Rabbeinu Shalom in this world, in every aspect of our lives. And when we do so, when we see, when we're successful in realizing the Rabbeinu Shalom in everything in this world, what we're doing is we're uniting HaKadosh Baruch Hu with his Shechinah. Because otherwise, the illusion is that this world, the illusion is that this world is separated from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chas V'Shalom. That's the illusion, right? We have billions of people walking around that have no idea that the Rabbeinu Shalom is all over, right? They view the world as a place that is separate of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We, Klal Yisrael, we realize that the Rabbeinu Shalom is Maloi Chalaretz Kevoidai. His glory fills the worlds. And when we come to that recognition, what we're doing is we're uniting HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the Shechinah to realize that it's all the same. There is no separation. There is nothing separate of Hashem. And what we see is just an illusion.
Chas V'Shalom. It's just our perception is changed.
Yes.
So when we say we don't really unite, we just able to see more clearly.
Right. And not only that, it is there are powers of evil in the world, right? Called Sitra Achra, called Chitzoinen, right? That seek to impress upon the world that this is a separated world, right? So the Koyach HaKedusha of realizing and recognizing that there is no separation is actually causing a Yichud Kudshei Brichah, not Chas V'Shalom, you're right. We're not causing anything in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but that recognition brings Kedusha to the world where we actually have this recognition that all is united.
So if the Shekhinah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu are one and the same, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu fills the world, what does it mean when they say that, you know, the Shekhinah doesn't come closer than 10 tefachim to the ground, except on Hanukkah, for example? How do you understand that?
Ve'olam le'yor the Shekhinah l'mata me'asara. You have to say that it means in a revealed sense, in his galus. Nothing can exist without the Rabbeinu Shalom. Now, this, as I just mentioned, this Shekhinah has another word. It's called Kevoidai. It's called Hashem's glory, right? So there is Atzmusai, which is his essence, and Kevoidai, which is his glory. That's another word for Shekhinah, right? That's why we say Maloi Chala'aretz Kevoidai. His glory fills the world, right? His essence doesn't fill the world, right? We don't see his essence in the world. We refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's something that seems distant from us. But what fills the world is Kevoidai, is his glory. Malai Chalor, it's Kevoidai. There's another term for this. It's Malchusai, his kingdom. Right? Because, why is this? Because one of the reasons mentioned in the Kadmonim, why Hashem created the world to begin with was because Hashem wanted to be melech. He wanted to be king. Right? We'll get around to this as to what that means. He wanted to be king. Ve'in melech b'layam. There's no such thing as a king without a nation. Right? So Hashem created the world, so there should be subjects. That makes the Rabbeinu Shlalem king. Now, in order to create the world, right, there had to be this illusion. There couldn't be a world without this illusion of separation from Hashem's essence. As we mentioned before the world was created, all that existed was Hashem's essence. In order for the world to exist, there had to be this illusion of godlessness. But when we realize that the Ribbono Shel Olam, that Hashem's glory fills the world, that is called Malchusa, that is called His King. The whole purpose of Hashem creating the world is that we should be His subjects. So this is why after we say Shema Yisrael, first of all, while we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, right, we say Hashem is one, the one and only. And that's the only thing that's the only thing that exists, right? So we can't have our eyes open because everything we see contradicts that, right? So we cover our eyes when we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. We cover our eyes. Nothing else exists in the world because Ani Hashem Lo Yishanisi. Hashem has never changed, and He was the way He was before the Bria. That's the same way He is now. Nothing has ever changed. And then we open our eyes. And we see a contradiction to what we've just said. So we say, Baruch Shem Kivoid Malchusai La'ilavod. Right? What I am looking at is Kivoid Malchusai, is His glory, is His kingdom. What I'm looking at is the Shechinah. The Ribbono Shel Olam that dwells within the world. So anytime a Jew performs a mitzvah and we take a physical object and we use it for Hashem's kingdom, we take dough, right? And we separate challah, right? So we're showing that this is part of it. Although dough looks like something totally physical, totally separated from godliness, we're taking it and we're performing Hashem's commandments. What we're doing is we're uniting Kudsha Baruch Hu, we're uniting HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ushchinte and His Shechinah. We are demonstrating that the Ribbono Shel Olam exists within the worlds. The same applies to every mitzvah. It applies to everything before we daven, right? We're also physical. And when we daven, we are showing that we are subjects of His kingdom. So before we say Baruch Shama, we say L'shem Yichud Kudsha B'richu Shechintai. Right? I'm doing this for the sake of uniting HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Shechinah. That is what is transpiring when we perform a mitzvah, when we do anything that is for Hashem's sake. Now, those that suggest that before a person walks out of the Beis Medrash or walks out of their house, that they should say, I'm going to fulfill the mitzvah of Lo Yisasuru Achrei Levavchem Achrei Einechem. I'm going to fulfill the mitzvah of not allowing my eyes to wander. L'shem Yichud Kudsha Baruch Hu Shechintai. Walking on the street could be uniting HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the Shechinah, showing that Hashem exists within the world. In the street, wherever I am, Malay Chalaretz Kavodai, the Rabbi Shalom fills His glory, fills the world. His Malchus is rules over me wherever I am. I remember I used to go with my father to visit his mother every morning after davening. My father would go; his mother lived next door to the shul. We would go visit my grandmother together, and before my father used to stop by the door. and used to say l'shem yichud kodesh b'richu v'shchinte, I'm going to perform the mitzvah of kibudim every morning before I enter. A person has the ability every step of their lives to just the recognition that the Rabbeinu Shalom rules over every aspect of my life, every aspect of this world. We're uniting HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'shchinte. The word Baruch comes from the word Havracha. When one takes a tree and when you bend a branch and you plant it into the ground, I'm not sure what that's called in English. What? It's graft. I think grafting is two trees together.
Grafting is when you cut it and then you put it into the
ground. Right, but there's another term for when they would take a branch of a fruit tree and bend it over and put it into the ground, and the Mishnah calls that Havracha. And what it means is drawing down. That's what it means. The definition of the word means drawing down. So that's why when you bend over the tree downward, it's called Havracha. So before we perform a mitzvah, we say, Baruch Ata Hashem Aleikenu. I am going to draw down you. Ata is Atzmusai, is the Rabbeinu Shlom himself, the Hashem's essence. Ata Hashem Aleikenu. And I'm going to make you Melech HaOlam. I'm going to make you the king of the world. How? Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosav v'tzivanu, because through you have sanctified me with your mitzvahs, I am going to demonstrate by what I'm about to do that you are Melech HaOlam. So when the Chassid Chabad was asked, why don't you say the Shem Yichud Kudsh B'richu Shchinde before you do the mitzvah? So he answered, because we say, Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. It's the same thing. No need to say it twice. By Baruch Shama, you say it because you know there's no bracha there. So it's an important, it's a tremendous kavanah to have. When we say, Baruch Ato Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, it's not just, blessed are you Hashem, the King of the universe. I'm making you the King of the universe by doing what I'm about to do. Another kavana to have, when we say Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, there are two ways, two approaches that one can have to Avodas Hashem, or to the Torah, to the laws of the Torah in general. One can look at it as a set of rules, a set of laws. There's, Hashem is the king of the world, so the king sets rules. The king sets laws. This you could do, this you can't do. There's a pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Re'eh. Right? Re'eh starts. Re'eh yonoichi noitzen lefneichem hayan bracha oksala. Realize a place before you today, a blessing and a curse. As habracha, the blessing will be asher tishmu al mitzvahs Hashem alekechem, that you will listen to the mitzvahs of Hashem your God. Then the mitzvah goes, and then the pasuk goes on to list the bracha. Then it says v'aklala, and the curse is im lo tishmu al mitzvahs Hashem alekechem, if you will not listen. So if you look carefully, there's a difference. By the bracha, it says, asher tishmu, that you will listen. By the klal, it says, im loy tishmu, if you won't listen. So I once suggested that that here lies the difference between two approaches in Yiddishkeit that are very far apart. One is, as I just mentioned, you look at it as a set of laws. I have to do this, I have to do that, or I can't do this and I can't do that. It's as a king puts laws, and nobody sticks to the speed limit because they want to, right? We have to stick to the speed limit. You have to wear a seatbelt, and you have to. There's laws that we have to keep. We have to keep by. But then there's a different approach. The different approach is that we realize that we are serving not a king. We're serving a god. God means that there's something godly about what I'm doing. It's not just, I'm not just observing a law or not doing something because the king told me not to. No, there's something godly about this. I keep Shabbos because there's something godly about it. It's not just I can't do this and I can't do that. There is something holy about this. And it becomes something that we treasure and something that we actually feel a privilege being part of, because it uplifts us. It makes us a better people. It's a tremendous fortune that we are able to be a godly people. Now Rashi says in Parshas Nasai on the word Ash, on the Pasuk Asher Nasi Yechta, Rashi says the word Asher comes from the same word as Ashreinu, which means we are fortunate. So there's two ways of approaching the mitzvahs, and this is what the pasuk is telling us: Habracha, the blessing will be Asher Tishmu, that you understand the Asher, you understand the great fortune that one has to perform the mitzvahs. Asher Tishmu Mitzvahs Hashem Alekechem. You'll understand the fortune and the privilege, the godliness that's involved in performing the mitzvahs. Va'klala, when is the curse? The curse is Im Loi Tishmu, that all you hear is, what if I don't? Right? That's the way we interpret rules, the way we evaluate how important the rule is what happens if I don't do it? Am I going to get a ticket? Am I going to be imprisoned? Am I going to, right? It's all about what happens if I don't? It's a different world, right? That's looking at Hashem as if he's a melech. He's a king, and we have to obey his decrees. So, for Bnei Yisrael, the Ribbono Shel Olam is Elokeinu. The Ribbono Shel Olam is not just our king. He's our God. It's something that we cherish because he's our God and we are his people. We're a godly nation. Melech Olam, the rest of the world can look at him as a king. Right? He is Elokeinu. So we say, Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you Hashem. Elokeinu, you're our God. Melech Olam, you're a melech for the rest of the world. But for us, you're Elokeinu, you're our God. Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosav. He has sanctified us with his mitzvahs. Right? We don't say asher kiddushanu b'mitzvos. We don't say that he sanctified us with mitzvahs. Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosav. Right? He sanctified us with his mitzvahs. Shem Shmuel says in Parshas Bamidbar, that he heard from his father, the Avnei Nezer, that there are two parts of every mitzvah. There is the physical act of the mitzvah, and there is the heart that we invest into a mitzvah. Right? The emotion passion, we invest in a mitzvah. The love of Hashem, the awe of Hashem. And each one of these, says Hashem Shmuel, accomplishes a different, accomplishes something else. One, the act of the mitzvah, here it said his father, the Avnei Nezer, what we find in the Zohar HaKadosh, that every mitzvah brings bracha and shefa, it brings a flow, and it brings or brings a light to all of the world, that's accomplished by the act of the mitzvah. And the emotion that we invest, the passion that we invest in a mitzvah, that makes an impression on the person. And that's why you'll see that if a person does a mitzvah by rote without investing any passion, that the person doesn't change. They're the same person before and after. Whereas if a person does a mitzvah with passion, the person does a mitzvah, like say, davens with it, with a hava and yira, or they perform a mitzvah properly, the person becomes a better person. The person is a different person afterwards. Says the Shem Shmuel that he asked his father, how is it possible, though, that a physical act, you're telling me that the physical act of the mitzvah, that is what makes the ruckus in all of the world? How is it possible that a physical act of a physical human being has an impact on spiritual worlds? So he said, so the Avnei Nezer, his father answered him. An unbelievable concept. He says that there's a concept in halacha, that shluchai shal adam kemoisa, that when a person sends a messenger, right, that every act that the messenger does is attributed to the sender. So Reuven can tell Shimon, here, take this money and betroth a woman for me. Right, be mekadesh a woman for me. And Shimon can go over to Leah and say, here, gives him the money, you're mekadeshes to Reuven. Right, the act of him giving, you know, it's, in order to make a kedushin, it's required for the Mekadosh to give the money, since he is a shliach, it's as if Shimon's actions are attributed to Reuven. Says Avnei Nezer, Hashem sent us to this world and made us a shliach to perform the mitzvahs. So when a yid performs a mitzvah, it's attributed to the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's as if Hashem is doing it. So if Hashem is doing an act, well, of course it's going to have an impact on all the worlds. I mean, could you imagine? Just imagine. Every time we do a mitzvah, it's attributed to Hashem. Hashem is performing the mitzvah. Right? So when we put on tefillin, the Ribbono Shel Olam is putting on tefillin. And when we separate challah, or we do any other mitzvah that we're busy with all the time, it's as if Hashem is doing that mitzvah. And that's why it has such a tremendous impact on all the world. Perhaps that's pshat in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Menai shal kadosh baruch hu maniach tefillin. The Gemara says, how do we know that Hashem wears tefillin? What do you mean Hashem wears tefillin? Hashem wears tefillin? No. The Gemara is asking, how do we know that when I put on tefillin, that the Ribbono Shel Olam is putting on tefillin? Mordechai says, "V'nai shakadosh baruch hu mispalel." How do we know that Hashem davened? I mean, Hashem davened. Who did he daven to? Right? It means that when we're davening, the Ribbono Shel Olam is davening, because we're his shliach. And shliach shel adam kemoisai. Says the Shem Shmuel, that's why we say, "Asher kiddushonu b'mitzvoisav." He sanctified us with his mitzvahs. These are not our mitzvahs. It's not just asher kiddushonu b'mitzvahs. He sanctify us to perform his mitzvahs. He's performing the mitzvahs. It gives us a new appreciation for the performance of mitzvahs. We're the Ribbono Shel Olam's messengers. we can understand what this a conversation, a dialogue between Hashem and Moshe Rabbeinu at the snare, the burning bush. Hashem tells Moshe to take Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. So Moshe responds, says to Hashem, "Mi anochi, ki elach al Paran, who am I to go to Paran? Chiyoti is Bnei Yisrael, Eretz Mitzrayim. Will I be able to take Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim?" So Hashem says to him, "Ki ayim ach, I'll be with you. Vezelach ha'ois, ki anochi shlachticha. This is the sign that I've sent you." When you take Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, they will worship me on this mountain. So Rashi explains that Moshe Rabbeinu asked two questions. He asked, "Who am I? Who am I to be the Redeemer?" And secondly, what merit do Bnei Yisrael have to go out of Mitzrayim? And Hashem responded, "When you take Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, they will worship me on this mountain." Meaning, you're right, they have no merit. But it's in the merit of the future, they will accept the Torah. I'm taking them out on credit. But what about the first question? Moshe asked, "Mi anochi?" Moshe asked, "Who am I? Who am I to be the Redeemer?" And perhaps the answer to that question was, "Vezelecha ha'ois ki anochi shalachticha." You asked, "Who am I?" It has nothing to do with you. "Ki anochi shalachticha," you're my shliach. You're my shliach. It's not you. I'm the Redeemer. You're just my messenger. And shlucha shaladam kemoisa. And that's the way we have to approach every mitzvah. Korach had difficulty understanding what's the point of the act of a mitzvah. He said, "Kol ha'eda kulam kedoshim uvesoicham Hashem." Right? Everybody is holy. They have within them is Hashem. All that counts is the heart. You have a Jewish heart. You don't have to. How can the act of mitzvahs make a difference? All it is a physical act. If you look into the parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Korach, he says to Bnei Yisrael, if these people die a normal death. With this you will know that Hashem has sent me to do all of these actions. It wasn't from my heart. What's Moshe Rabbeinu saying here? Moshe Rabbeinu, Korach's argument was all that counts is the heart. Actions can't count. They're physical. How can physical actions count? To which Moshe responded, "With this I will show you that ki Hashem shlochani." The reason why actions count is because Hashem sent us. Lasis is called masamayla kiloy melibi. It's not all in the heart. It has to do with physical actions make a big difference. And that's why we say, Asher kiddushonu b'mitzvoy sov. Hashem has sanctified us with his mitzvahs. So I'll just go into the simple meaning of Al Netilas Yadayim. We'll see if we'll come back to it or not to get the deeper meaning. But Al Netilas Yadayim, Art Scroll interprets as regarding the washing of the hands. Now, Netila doesn't mean washing. And it's a big controversy in the Rishonim why we use the word Netilas Yadayim. The Rosh says that the vessel that is used, the Aramaic word for the vessel, for the glass vessel that was used, was a natla. Natla. So that's why the bracha became al netilas yodayim. So the Tosfos Yontif has tremendous difficulty with this. He says we find in the Gemara in Chulin that the natla was first manufactured in the days of Amoraim. So this bracha goes back a lot earlier than that. So how is it that the bracha was al netilas yodayim? The Gemara there itself says that a different Amara used a kuzu. So he wanted to know that. So Tosfos Yontif asks if that other Amara you said al kuzas yodayim. He's not satisfied with that approach. Another the Rashba, I believe, says that since you need to fetch water in order to wash the hands, so therefore we use the word netila. Netila means to take. Right? You need to take water. Right? Like we say, al netilas lulav, right? There the mitzvah is lakachtam lachem. The mitzvah is to take the lulav, right? So therefore, that's why we say al netilas lulav. The mitzvah is to take the lulav. So here we need to take the water in order to wash it. So we say al netilas yadayim. The Tosfos Yontif says it should be al netilas mayim. You're not taking your hands. You're taking the water, right? So why is it al netilas yadayim? The Chachanover, in his Sefer, at Sleisa Davram, he says, very simple pshat, why we say al netilas yadayim. He says that we find that Chazal established brachas by the way people referred to them, whether it makes sense or not. He says, we make a bracha, we put up a mezuzah, right? We say, right, to put up a mezuzah. What is a mezuzah? A mezuzah is a doorpost. A mezuzah is not the parchment that we put up there. It's not a mezuzah. A mezuzah is a doorpost. And nevertheless, we put up a mezuzah, we say, Hashem Kedshonu B'mitzvos, we're talking about a mezuzah. We should make that bracha when we put up the doorpost. Right? But there is no such mitzvah to put up a doorpost. But nevertheless, since people refer to the parchment as a mezuzah, so that's why we make the bracha al kvei mezuzah. Since, for whatever reason, says the Chachanover, Bnei Yisrael referred to washing the hands as netilas yadayim, whether it's because of the keli, whether it's because of taking the water, that's the way Bnei Yisrael referred to the washing of the hands, netilas yadayim. So that's the way the bracha was established. Asher kishonu b'mitzvos b'tzivan al netilas yadayim, just like the kvei mezuzah. We'll get to the obviously very, very deeper meanings. We have to share by next year.